hard, heavy, and hell. Badass music for badass listeners.
Hey, this is Cassidy Paris, and you're listening to the Hard, Heavy, and Hair Show with Pariah Burke.
Cassidy Paris is a teenager with a voice and a mind more mature than her years. From Melbourne, Australia, Cassidy has reached across the globe with a rock and roll singing voice evocative of Joan Jett, Lee Aaron, and Pat Benatar. She's also a spokesperson for Metalheads Against Bullying and a woman with a heart almost as big as her amazing voice. Cassidy has been mentored by her father, Wicked Smile guitarist Stevie Janevsky, and Danger Danger and the Defiance vocalist Paul Lane. But as excellent as those musicians are, and I'm a fan of all three of those bands, Cassidy's talent is at the next level. I can see her music leading the next generation of hard rock and bridging the gap between that genre and pop music in a way not seen since Lee Aaron. And that much talent, packed into the level-headed 18-year-old who has been recording since she was 13, gives me hope that the next generation of rock and roll is in good hands. Recently, I had the pleasure and honor of talking with this talented, smart, passionate woman from her home in Australia, from a bedroom that mirrors any rock fans in the 80s, with wall-to-wall concert and band posters, guitars, and PV amps.
Become a hard, heavy, and hair backstage VIP at patreon.com/pariahrocks.
Cassidy Paris, thank you for joining me on the Hard, Heavy, and Hair show.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Right on. So let's start with a question to make you think. Out of every performer that's ever stepped onto a stage, living or dead, who would you most like to share the stage with for one house-packed, maybe televised performance? Just one performance.
Making me think on my toes this early in the morning. This is difficult because I have so many people. I actually got this question a while ago on my Instagram story and was like, what do I do here? that's huge. I love a bunch of artists. I think last time I said Dio, just because I love everything Dio, and I'm obsessed with him as a performer. He was a god, and I'm gonna go with that again, just because that is such a cool, I can't even fathom jumping on a stage with him if that was possible. That's just unreal.
It's a good choice. Right on.
And there's so many artists. Like, I love people like Pat Benatar, Joan Jett. I've always been a massive fan of classic rock and, you know, the female rockers that were the ones that started this. So there's a bunch of people. That's so difficult.
Yeah. And I hear a lot of, I know some of your influences are the women you just mentioned. I hear a lot of them in your music. Have you ever heard of Chez Kane?
I have not.
She's a young...
It rings a bell, actually, but I haven't looked into it.
She's a younger female vocalist out of Britain. She just came out with her debut album. She was in a band with her sisters called Kane, but she just came out with her debut album this spring on Frontiers. And you and she your music reminds me of each other because you've got this modern rock sound, but you're also channeling the 80s powerful, strong women singers like Pat Benatar and Lee Aaron and, you know, maybe a little bit of Lita Ford.
Definitely. And look, that's definitely what I envision for my music. It's a modern take on like classic 80s rock, and I'm really looking forward to being, well, hopefully being a part of bringing that back, because I think it's been missing on the forefront for a very, very long time. And it's awesome that you're comparing artists, and there's a bunch of artists that are really working super hard to make that happen. And I had heard of Kane when they're on Frontiers. I have.
Okay. Well, yeah. Chez Kane is one of the three sisters in the band Kane, and she did a solo album Danny Rexon from Crazy Licks mostly wrote.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So it's worth listening to. You, yeah, like I definitely. Said, your music. Of your music. So
yeah, absolutely.
So I know in every interview you're asked about your age every time and all the time. I hope you don't mind, but I'm also going to ask. But the reason that at least I'm going to ask about your age is because it's important to people that what you're doing, the things you're doing at your age, at your level, so few people ever get to do. You're clearly talented for any age.
Thank you.
The fact that you're able to do what you do, that you've released an EP, that you have music videos, you're booking shows, they're significant achievements on their own, but doubly so given your age. So I hope you don't mind. I'm going to ask.
No, that's absolutely fine. Thank you.
So how, may I ask how old you are, Cassidy?
I'm currently 18. I just turned 18. I turned 18 maybe 9 months ago, last year in November. So that was super, super cool. That happened in lockdown. So that was it's a little bit of a change when you turn 18 here, because you can actually get your driver's license, which is good news for my dad and my mom, because I remember the first time I hopped in a car with my dad, he was like, never again, we're not doing this again, okay, for a very long time until you get your license and you're a qualified driver. But yeah, so that was really cool getting my license and stuff when I turned 18. And you know what? I just think it's a really cool age. So I'm really digging being 18.
Right on. It's a really good age, at least here in the States. What else can you do in Australia at 18?
You can actually, not that I do a lot of this, you can actually drink when you're 18 in Australia. But yeah, it's definitely... It's kind of like when you become independent a little bit more when you're 18 in Australia. I think it's a similar thing in the US, is it?
When you're 18? It is. So in the US, 18 is a legal adult. You can vote. You can go, you know, get your own bank account. You can sign contracts, all that stuff. But you can't drink until you're 21. So they do restrict some things. But most of 18 is, that's the age of independence.
Yes.
So how old were you when you started professionally recording?
So I was 13 years old when I recorded Talk About It, which was my first single. And I always knew that I wanted to start young, because I always knew that it was my passion and I had a drive to get right into it. But yeah, it was super interesting the way when I went to high school, because in Australia, you begin high school when you're about 13 years old. And it was very interesting the response I had in high school when I started embarking on this journey. So yeah, it's been an awesome, interesting ride so far, and I'm really, really looking forward to the future and what it holds.
That's very cool. Did the other kids treat you differently in high school?
Yeah, you could say that. It was a mixed bag, actually, because high school was a bunch of people saying, we're going to support, like a couple of people supporting. Like I had a good handful of friends that I'm really, really lucky that I bonded with quickly and early. Like one of my best friends I still talk to, and he still supports me today. Like he's an awesome person. And then I had a overwhelming amount of teasing and bullying, which was hard to deal with from a young age, just because I was doing something that was different to everyone else. And obviously when you're putting yourself out there, you're going to get a bunch of people that just don't respond well and don't understand it, which is absolutely fine. But I am very lucky that I used my experiences and put them out on a platform with Metal Heads Against Bullying, which is an organization that I am with and I'm really, really proud to be with. And I kind of channeled my feelings around the bullying that I really was directed at me in high school and put that forward on a platform to try and help other people.
Wow, that's fantastic that you were able to take this negativity, this negative experience that you had and turn it into something positive. How has the response been to Metal Heads Against Bullying?
I've had an overwhelming amount of support worldwide, and it blows my mind constantly how many people I get writing to me from a bunch of places in the world that I really hope to tour one day. And they all write to me saying, I think what you're doing is so cool and it's just so awesome. Like people I've never met, it blows my mind every single time I read a message like that. And I'm really glad that I spoke out when I got the opportunity to, because it was really important for me as a person to do that. And putting that out on a platform is always a little bit, I was a little bit apprehensive to do it at first just because it's putting your life out there, and that's a person, like that's very personal experience as well, but it's helped a lot of people, and I get people writing to me and we're connecting on like a new level because people have experienced this and the bond we share, it's crazy. I'm really, really, really just a lucky person to be able to have that awesome support network over the world.
Well, and I would wager that they are lucky to have someone like you inspiring them.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
One of the questions I had planned to ask you was, you know, given the early age at which you started and how long you've been doing this, would you have any advice for other talented teens? But I want to amend that and say, given what you just told me about Metal Heads Against Bullying and what you experienced, do you have any advice for teenagers in general, whether they're creative or not, just teenagers in general who are dealing with the same things you went through?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a bunch of advice I could give in terms of just following your passions. And I know that sounds like a broken record for me probably by this point, but following your passions and really going through with what you love is so, so important, being true to yourself. I'm so glad I was true to myself at such a young age, because the support has just been awesome from people and the response. But I was always that outcast in high school and basically everywhere I go, and I take pride in it. And for a long time, I know a lot of people, well, I've had conversations with people and they're like, I'm not sure. And I'm like, just be yourself, be true to yourself, be the outcast, because I think that's cool. I think that is so super cool.
That's very good advice. Thank you.
No problems.
So on the topic of advice, what's the best piece of advice another musician, other than your father, who has been in a lot of bands, and he's in your band, as I understand, correct? Mm-hmm. So what's the best piece of advice you got from another musician other than your dad?
Yeah, I've had a huge amount, and I'm very, very grateful to be surrounded by a bunch of really, really talented, successful musicians. I've had a bunch of advice from my producer, Paul Lane, Danger Danger, Defiance, Dark Horse. He's had so much success and he's so super awesome. I always call him the musical Mozart, the rock Mozart. And he is just unreal. And having a conversation with that man is just like, I feel like a sponge. Like I just want to absorb everything because he has so much great information and guidance and support to offer. he tells me a bunch of stories from when he was my age and going into the musical industry, and that's super cool to hear. But he's constantly reminding me to stay, it's so important to stay like level-headed and to enjoy the ride. I know he's written a song about enjoying the ride. I think it's on the, I think It Goes Fast. And that is such a powerful song. And I've always related to that so much. And he's always constantly reminded me that it just does. You have so many people and so many cool experiences around you. So you've just got to take it all in, because it does truly go fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in the music industry.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've had so much awesome advice, even from Danny Ciccardi from Wicked Smile, the band that my dad is currently in. He gives me so much awesome like vocal advice and just so much guidance and support. I can't even begin to express like my gratitude for it.
Oh, that's really cool. So how did your relationship with Paul Lane start?
It's an interesting one. My dad was actually supporting his band. So the Radio Sun was supporting Paul Lane's solo act in Australia. And they were his backing band. He actually stayed with us and continues to stay with us when he comes down to Melbourne, which is really cool. And I expressed an interest for music quite early. So I was probably about 11 or 12, maybe. Yeah, I think I was 11 or 12 when he first came down here, and he's such a cool guy. He brought a bunch of like American chocolate and sweets and candy, and my brother and I were just like, oh my God, this guy is so cool. Not only because he just brings chocolate, but he's just got so many cool stories. And like I said, I just want to hear every single one of them. Every single time he comes over here, he just talks about these things. I'm like, oh my God, that actually happened? He's like, yeah. And I don't mean to mimic your accent. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. But well, the Canadian accent's slightly different, I think, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And so I'm only second generation American. My right. grandmother came from Canada, and then her parents came from Scotland. So but I pick up accents pretty quickly. So if I start sounding like you, I apologize.
No, that's all good.
I grew up in Boston, and I had to get rid of my Boston accent because I had moved to Florida, and there were some areas that were still fighting the Civil War, and they did not like the Yankee accent. So now I have a neutral American accent, but yeah, no, I still pick up accents like crazy. So if you start picking up mine, I won't take offense. I do the same thing.
No, not at all. That's super cool that you pick up accents. I wish I could do that. I feel like sometimes I can't replicate accents well, and then I don't want to offend anyone. Like, I can't do a British accent at all. It's hilarious. And I've got a lot of Brit friends, which is upsetting that I can't replicate their accent, but that's okay. I'll learn one day. In regards to the Paul friendship or alliance, so when I was about 12 or 13, we sat down, and I had already, before he came out, he had told my dad, I love his music. So we had been listening to, at that time, I think he had released the Dark Horse album, which was the album that he'd been working on for a couple of years, I think. And it was super cool. I loved a bunch of songs. I actually play one in my set. So I like that so much that it's in my set now. But so we've actually we wrote a song together when he came over here for the first time, and it happened to be Talk About It, which was my first release. We mucked around with some chords and some ideas that I liked and drew from some inspiration, 80s and both modern stuff that I really digged. And Talk About It was the final product, which I really, really love that song. It's just, it's a representation of like growth as well for me as an artist, because I think vocally and in terms of performance, when I performed it before, it really shows me growing as an artist and progressively getting better, I hope. So, yeah.
And he co-wrote Stand with you, didn't he?
Yes. As well? Yes. So Paul and I continue to co-write together just because I think we understand each other, and our minds think very together when we're writing. And mm-hmm. I love everything that we've done together. I'm really, really proud of it. So my new single that's coming out next week, Wannabe, is also a co-write with Pauline, and I am so, so excited to release that one. It's probably my favorite yet.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
So what's your songwriting process like?
It does vary every single time I write, and with Paul, it definitely does vary because we're on opposite sides of the earth. And because he's in Canada, we actually use Skype most of the time when we write. I mean, when he comes over here, we try to write as much as possible and get as much done as possible, but there's only so much you can do in so little time when you're performing together and everything. So yeah, I normally write, we come up with the idea, the bass, so just like the chords and everything, we come up with that over like a Zoom meeting, like what we're on right now, mm-hmm. or a Skype, and we kind of discuss what the track to be like. Like we pull out bits and pieces of like inspiration, and then we get to making the track and get to writing the lyrics and throw lyrics back and forth. And it's just a really cool process. And I think hopefully that it works well.
I think so. I like your music. I like
you.
How it's written.
Thank you.
So you mentioned that you do one of Paul's songs. You cover one of Paul's songs in your live set. Do you do other covers in your sets?
I do. At the moment, I'm playing a show next week, so I'm super psyched. And it's the first time I've played a show in a very long time because of COVID, obviously. And I am playing a Joan Jett song, I Hate Myself for Loving You. And nice. I'm really, really excited about that one because it's just one I was mucking around with in the living room. My dad came downstairs, like tiptoed down the stairs, and he's like, "That sounds pretty good. I think we should put that in your set." So, yeah, that's basically how that one came about. I've always loved Joan and all the music she's done and everything she's been involved with. She's such like a god. She's a female goddess, and it's awesome to be able to cover something like that because it's, again, it's a modern take on an old classic.
Do you have any thoughts of releasing it, recording it and releasing it?
I have thought about it. I'm actually going to record another cover, but that's a secret at the moment. Okay. And in the future, well, quite soon, and I'm looking forward to releasing that one. That's, again, another spin on something that was really popular in the 70s, 80s.
Okay.
So that's really cool.
Well, you piqued my interest. I can't wait to hear what it is.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an exciting one, I think.
Are there any songs that you would really like to cover, but they scare you?
Actually, one that did scare me was Dio, Rainbow in the Dark. That always scared me. Well, not scared as much. I would probably call it like, it's just doing it justice. It's such a big thing, even with the Joan Jett one. Like, and when you're covering something, it's just so much pressure too. And well, it's not really pressure because I guess you are spinning it and it's your spin on it and it's a modern day like a remake. But I remember that was one of the tracks, like I like to, when I'm rehearsing, pull a bunch of different artists. Like I'll listen to Keith Urban, Carrie Underwood, like country rock stuff as well. Like my dad says, a good song is a good song. And I like to rehearse to a bunch of artists just to make sure that I am growing and making sure that I'm like taking inspiration from a whole bunch of different genres. But in terms of the Dio one, I was mucking around with that one in my living room when I was rehearsing. And the first time I sang it, I was like, oh my God, like these notes are unreal. And I just progressively been taking it slow and trying to work up my vocal ability through that song. So that's definitely one that I have been doing and rehearsing recently. And it's a huge song. Like anything Dio does is huge.
Yeah.
Or did. So yeah, definitely that one.
Okay. That would be really interesting. I was just talking to Vinny Appice the other day, the drummer and co-writer of pretty much everything Dio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about the way the songs are mixed and how you could really hear every instrument in the Dio music. And you Absolutely. Could really hear the nuanced phrasing of Ronnie James, the way he sang, you know. I'm really curious to hear how you sound on that.
Yeah, it's definitely different. And my dad actually stole that one from, well, not stole it, but I was rehearsing and then he was like, I'm going to take that one for my set. So Danny Ciccardi does that one justice and he's awesome, unreal when he sings it live. It's crazy. So that's super cool that Wicked Smile have been able to take that one and twist it in their own way.
I'm a fan of Wicked Smile as well. I like their music.
Yeah, they're super cool. And I always say to Dad that it's definitely I always see my dad progressively growing as well as an artist. And I know he's older and I just think you're constantly, constantly learning. And my dad is a true reminder of that. As a songwriter even, I just see him getting better and better as the years progress. And Wicked Smile's a real, real, like it shows the true colors on how he has grown as an artist and as a songwriter. Obviously Paul co-writes that stuff as well, but Wicked Smile is definitely my favorite stuff my dad's ever done, and I totally am such a fangirl for every single song on their latest album, well, their newest and debut album.
Yeah. And are you down on the front row cheering them on during the live shows?
Absolutely.
I know you just joined them on stage recently, didn't you?
I did on Saturday night for their gig. And that was super cool. I did a song called Stronger, which is a song that my dad and Paul wrote together. And it was it's very close to me because my dad wrote that regarding my bullying situation in high school, and he just wanted to bring to light how important it is to be true to yourself and to be stronger, really.
On that note, a lot of your lyrics seem very deeply personal. Yeah. Have you heard from fans that your music reaches them, that it helped them through a moment?
Oh yeah. I get, like I said, I get a huge amount of people writing to me and being like, this helped me through this. And I'm so glad that you released this song, because especially like I get a lot of comments about Stand, because Stand was a song that I wrote about that experience. And it was very, very, when I wrote it, it was very, very raw for me, because it was after Talk About It had been released. So it was the first time that I saw people kind of changing their attitudes towards me at high school, or even in my life, there are a lot of people just around me. You really do see who your true friends are, and even the support from your family. It does definitely shift when you do something so out there and so different, like what I chose to pursue. And I think Stand was a real it was a song that I definitely related to at that time, and a lot of people related to as well. And I wasn't expecting so many people to write to me being like, hey, this song helped me in this way. And I'm so glad you wrote it because, and I'm so glad I wrote it because it helped someone. And that's exactly what I try to do with my music. I want people to relate. I want people to help people, and I want to show them how much, show them my experiences, but also for them to connect on a personal level as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the power of music.
Yeah.
And I think music, you know, one song or another has helped all of us through something, you know.
Absolutely.
None of those stories stick, none of your fan stories have stick out in particular in your mind, do they? You don't remember one in particular?
Nothing in particular. I know that I've had gotten a lot, like overarchingly, I had received a lot of messages regarding people being bullied, whether that was online. I got a lot of people, which is so sad. And I think like using social media to positively impact the world is so important, because there are so many keyboard warriors, and it's so sad that people put their time and energy and efforts into something that is so negative. I could never understand or fathom that. And a lot of people would write to me being like, these people would come at me online for literally nothing, for pursuing what I love. And I never could understand that as a human. Never.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I
can intellectualize some of it. I can understand, you know, people are angry, they lash out in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But it really does not, deep in here, I can't get it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it definitely baffles me.
So I really applaud you for doing something about it, for writing music that decries bullying, that reaches people, and for participating and being an ambassador for, was it Metalheads Against Bullying, right?
Yeah, Metalheads Against Bullying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really applaud you for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So I have one more question for you. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to make sure that we get your socials so that everybody knows where to find you, where to find your music, and where to find MHAB. But I want to ask you this question. If you could be part of a three-act concert, what other performers would you want on the bill with you?
Oh, my God. These questions are so cool, but so hard. I've always wanted to gig with Hailstorm. Lizzie Hale has just been one of my huge inspirations from such a young age. I remember and recall bringing in a like huge, like human size Hailstorm guitar poster in year seven to my class, because you had to make a poster of a band that inspired you, and people were doing everything from like Foo Fighters, and there was a bunch of things that people were doing, like even within the pop scene as well. And I brought in Hailstorm, and everyone was like, this girl, I have no idea what's wrong with her. And I was like, are you serious? Have you heard these people? And I played Apocalyptic to my entire year seven class, which was, I think they were all like stunned after they watched that. But yeah, Hailstorm is always someone I love to have gigged with. Def Leppard. I am obsessed with Def Leppard, the biggest fangirl that ever existed. Huge fan. The Hysteria album is just my all-time, like, that's the holy grail. It's unreal.
Yeah, that is one of the best records of all time. Definitely, yeah. Def Leppard's best record, but one of the best rock records ever, in my opinion. So
absolutely,
I'm with you there.
I completely agree.
Right on. Okay, so where can people find you online? What's your socials, and where can people find Metalheads Against Bullies?
Yeah, so Cassidy Paris Official on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the socials you can think of, and Cassidy Paris on YouTube. You can find me, and also for merch and tickets and my new single and my upcoming EP. That is at CassieParis.com. And Metalheads Against Bullying is just Metalheads Against Bullying on all social media platforms.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Cassidy Parris, thank you very much for coming on the Hard, Heavy, and Hair show. Really
thank
appreciate it.
Thank you so
it.
Much for having me. It's been such a cool time.
Well, I am going to cross my fingers that someday you appear on the bill with Def Leppard and Hailstorm.
Thank so we'll you. Just I'm put crossing that onto my the fingers universe. Too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your time.
Become a Hard, Heavy, and Hair Backstage VIP at patreon.com/pariahrocks. Support the creation of the Hard, Heavy, and Hair show. And get access to exclusive content, early previews, and even help program the show. Hard, Heavy, and Hair patrons get free stuff no one else gets. For as little as $1 a show. Patreon.com/PariahRocks.
Remember, to hear the music discussed in this interview, stream the on-demand Hard, Heavy, and Hair show at PariahRocks.com.
That's PariahRocks.com.
Also hit PariahRocks.com to stream or listen on a radio station near you. The regular two-hour Hard, Heavy, and Hair show with me, Pariah Burke. Hard, Heavy, and Hair is your weekly dose of hard rock, heavy metal, and hair bands from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 20-teens, and today, including the latest new releases, your old favorites, and deep cuts and rare hair, along with rock news and trivia.
This has been a Pariah Burke production, copyright 2021, PariahRocks.com. The home of Hard, Heavy, and Hair. Send requests, fan mail, and nude photos to Hard, Heavy, and Hair on PariahRocks.com. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PariahRocks.